Welcome to the Stone World Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Camry, and with me today is sculptor Daryl Petit. He's affiliated with Stony Creek Quarry and other quarries around the world. Daryl, thank you for taking the time to talk to me today. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much for inviting me, Jason.
Of course. So I'm excited to talk to you. We're going to be mainly talking about one of your projects called Event, the Stone Sculpture, featured at the Four Seasons Hotel and Private Residences in 1 Dalton Street in Boston, Massachusetts. And from that, we can, you know, kind of dive into other topics of the natural stone industry and quarrying and all that. But before we do, if you don't mind, just talk a little bit about yourself, kind of who you are and how you got to where you are today.
Well, that's a long narrative, but let me try to create a coherent synopsis. I've been involved in the stone world really for the last 31 years. And I'm a sculptor, as you mentioned, but have really deep ties and connections and working relationships, collaborations in the stone world. My beginnings, are at the quarry, in the Stony Creek Quarry, as well as the quarries of Lund in Norway. And so truly one of the main aspects of my world, sculpture world and stone world, starts in the origins at the quarries. And I have forged relationships with many architects, landscape architects, including Michael von Valkenburg. And so this project that we touch upon today was really through the invitation of Michael von Valkenburg, landscape architects, into a really spectacular project in the heart of Boston. Mm-hmm. I can't reiterate enough, really, though, is really the essence of who I am as a sculptor is really related to the quarry and the stone in its original state, and that whole process of excavating it, and really the people, company, and men and women who work the stone at that level. So that is often the source of my inspiration and work as a sculptor.
So which came first? Were you first a sculptor that started working with the quarries, or were you working at quarries and then became a sculptor?
That's a great question, because you know I always think things happen at the same time. but in fact, you know, I'm educated in urban studies and architecture, landscape architecture. I went to Brown, went to the Academy of Art in Berlin, went to the Kyoto City University of the Arts. So I came to the quarry as a sculptor on a large project for the city of Montreal involving a colossal scale block. And, you know, typically a sculptor, an architect, a designer comes to the industry and hands off the design work. Mm-hmm. And then it gets executed. And that's the process. And that was completely unsatisfactory for me when I went into the quarry to meet the quarry to try and figure out how to do it collaboratively with them. I felt a sense of powerlessness that I was not going to be the one doing the work. And so I decided at that moment, and this is 1989, that I really didn't know enough about what I wanted to do and I needed to go deeper. Mm. And literally that meant I went to work in the quarry as a quarryman for my own sense of knowing and knowledge to figure out how I could do these projects, but frankly, to figure out what it meant to work with stone and work at that level. That's the beginning.
All right, awesome. So talking specifically about the event project, if you don't mind just giving kind of a little bit of a background of how did this project get started, you know, what was the initial design goals and aspirations for it, and how did it become what it is today?
Well, as I mentioned, I had a previous working relationship with Michael von Valkenburg, landscape architects, and had done a previous project for 5060 Binney Street with MVVA, where we did a really large scale project for Alexandria real estate for a new building. And that was not so long ago. I want to say 2016. Mm-hmm. So we were fresh on a project that I feel was very successful. And when this project came to be, I was invited in by Laura Solano, who's a partner at MVVA, to consider what could be possible. And I think they had proposed something for their aspect of design, and it was not necessarily, nobody was comfortable with it, including MVVA. So, you know, she asked me if I could come in to it and think about what we could do in this particularly complex site, small site, in front of really a beautifully sleek, modern building in the heart of Boston. And at that stage, it was proposals. So I was making proposals. And it's important to say that, you know, they really, Richard Friedman, who was the client with a Carpenter Group, and Kate Chertavian, the art consultant, wanted to create a international acclaimed collection of art for the project that was related really to the brand and significance of the project. So I did make a few proposals. And I think, as I said to Jennifer in the article, Stone World, it wasn't happening naturally. It was forced to some extent. And at some points, you know, I went to a piece that already existed in another site that was on loan, and really off the cuff, had an instinctual feeling that perhaps we should consider this. And so I did send the image to Laura. We had a conversation around it, and it felt right. It felt instinctually like it was fitting into the context. It might need some tweaking or, you know, modification, but it then went to Michael von Valkenburg, and Michael spoke with Harry Cobb, the architect, and things were moving in a way that felt natural. So that's rare when all these forces come together in a natural way. And it wasn't what we originally were thinking, but it somehow was what came to fruition at that moment in time. And so we started thinking about this piece in that place. And at that point, we started to then relate things site-specifically, so that the work then had to somehow be altered to fit this exact site. There were ground conditions that had to be created to actually make the work integrate into the site. And, you know, the complexity of the site is the building, the Christian Science building, the convergence of different streets, and really the triangular plot in front of the entrance is pretty small. And then, of course, there was, you know, structural considerations that came into play for what we were proposing was 65 plus tons. So, you know, that's the short of how things happened. But the collaborative nature of these forces coming together, it really cannot be enough said about it, really. It's critical that the collaboration is on board with these.
Kind of going along with that collaboration, because I did a Google Maps on this, because I would like to try to look and see where it is. I mean, this is truly downtown, like Boston, right? Like, this is a tight area. It's a tight fit. You know, how difficult was it to get those large pieces of stone into that area and then work in that area?
Well, that's another part of the creation. Mm-hmm. And that's the logistics and your team. And in this case, you know, Barnhart Crane, I have a long history with of over 25 years. So that's an expertise that comes into the project to bring these pieces in safely and then install them in a tight location. Mm-hmm. There was also, you know, a completely ship-shape logistics team on site with Suffolk and others. So everything on site was of the highest order. But you know, we brought the pieces in. The preliminary planning of the site really is where the complexity gets solved, and that is about trying to make the that small triangular plot support the weight and spread the weight, and that's where another part of my team that's really critical is Silman engineers who are able to get their mind around some of the most complex problems. Mm-hmm. And we, you know, we wanted to really relate. The building on the ground level is of Chelmsford granite, and there's jet mist. So we were bringing in Stony Creek and Barry Gray. So we were also very mindful of these local classic American materials being used in this site. And all working together at a human scale. And this is really where the pedestrian participating in the building and the landscape is at the ground level, and that's where the granite is. And so that's where, you know, I come in to a creating an experience. And I think that's also part of MVVA's truly great expertise is to create experiences, not just landscapes, but an experience where people, you know, can experience the city in a new way. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned, you know, the different types of stone that were used on it, you know, from North American quarries. You know, how important was that to this project that you used local stone, essentially?
I think it was fundamental to the client. Mm-hmm. and the client's brand and mission that he really, from what I understand, wanted the building to have an international stature, mm-hmm. but he also wanted it to be reflective of some of those classical aesthetic traditional values of Boston and New England. And so what better way than to make the actual materials from that area? So I do think that you know, the Virginia jet mist and the Chelmsford were selected. I had proposed another material in some of the proposals that were not working. And that was another material that I work with quite a bit that I think is really a leading material in the world, but perhaps not fitting for this specific location. And Stony Creek, of course, has a long, long history in the city of Boston. It's literally, you know, in the streets and in the buildings and the infrastructure. So that was a natural. And we brought Barry in because it was really a complementary color granite matrix. The gray works very well with the striation and flow structure in the Stony Creek. So another American classic really in this location. I think it was fundamental. It was in the thinking for the building of Pei Kobfried and for the client Carpenter.
A lot of times when we talk about, you know, natural stone and, you know, building stone, I think one of the most important things that can really be talked about with it is sustainability and how important that is. And I kind of wanted to talk to you about the topic of sustainability and just, you know, from your perspective, you know, when you talk to clients, you talk to you know, people you work with, I mean, is this brought up in the conversation a lot? How important is this to a lot of people?
Yes, I think it is critically important. It is on the minds of the architects and designers and clients, municipalities. It is in their thinking. Mm-hmm. Climate change is real, it's scientific, and it affects us all. And the sustainability standard with the stone world that has been created, the NCNSC 373, has really been a great deal for the industry, but we are way, way too far behind some of the other materials and industries. And we still need a lot of catching up to do. But you bring up a really important point, and that is architects, landscape architects, and clients already have this figured into their designs and their missions and their college campuses. They have a sustainable program. So we absolutely need to be thinking about this in a way in which we are interacting with the rest of the material building world. Mm-hmm. So there's been a lot done. And I think we have all the right to be proud of what has been created, but there's a lot of work to be done in our industry with the standard. And I think mm-hmm. it's evolving. National Stone Institute now has it to some extent. So I'm very, very happy that things are going in the right direction. I mean, as a sculptor, when you are contributing to these types of projects, I also think it's interesting to consider what the local fabric is. And in that case, of One Dalton, there was an existing and there was also a new building. And it wasn't out of the question that something from overseas would be considered, but why not consider an existing condition and a historic condition and bring in at least two of the elements of my sculpture were Stony Creek, which is a NSC 373 gold certified sustainability of stone operation. So it made sense.
So one of the things I was kind of wondering is there ever with architects or designers education that has to be given to them about stone being sustainable? Because on the flip side with homeowners, a lot of homeowners, they think, well, you're pulling granite from the earth, thus it must be bad for the earth, right? They have that basic view of it and they don't understand that, well, compared to man-made materials, where it's sourced from, et cetera, and what they do to fill in the land, it is sustainable. So there's a lot of education on that side with just the residential customer. Is it the same with architects and designers, or they kind of have a decent idea?
Well, a decent idea. I mean, they are aware of this sustainability to a far greater degree, really, than we as an industry have arrived. Mm-hmm. So this is where the catching up has to happen. The education part is critical. And the education part, I think, has been dynamic, where we then have to educate architects, landscape architects, designers about our industry and our approach. Uh-huh. And that's been fundamentally important, because more and more people are moving further away from the source, from the quarry operation, from the fact that a natural material is sourced from the earth. That is a basic premise to understanding stone, that it is a natural material from the earth. Uh-huh. And that experience where architects, landscape architects, go into a quarry and understand suddenly the material in a different state, and that state is in the earth literally, mm-hmm. that is a moment in time where sustainability can then factor into the conversation in a much more richer conversation. Education is critical. I mean, I think we have done a good job. We could do a better job, but my mission always, when I begin to talk to architects and landscape architects, is to then excite them, inspire them, and educate them. It's not to kind of bowl them over with information or to convince them of anything, but it's to educate them. And you know, the data we have, the experiences we have are very important. These are people who want to be engaged on that level. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you hit it on the head. The word education is so critical to our industry because we are harvesting a material out of the earth. And that has to be explained and re-explained time and time again. It's not just something that arrives on the site and gets put up on the building. It always has to be understood as a natural material from the earth, always.
Mm-hmm. Now, I think that's, like you said, absolutely crucial. And it's just, I mean, with all, anything that deals with natural stone, I mean, there is a lot of education. There's a lot of information that either people don't know or they misheard that, you know, always needs to be cleared up. So yeah, continuing to spread the word and, you know, promote natural stone and, you know, understanding it fully is extremely important. So kind of talking a little bit more about this project during the whole process, was there ever, you know, anything that came up that was challenging or different or something that you had to kind of overcome during this? And then how did you overcome it?
Well, I think the biggest complexity was that, you know, the site and the foundation, like many sites and foundations in Boston, there's not a lot under the ground. So, you know, we had to deal with the complexity under there, and also a site that had been prepared to some extent for another idea. And the idea was late in the game, not really acceptable. So we had to figure out a solution to work with already 50% prepared site that could it or could it not support the weight. And I think there was some careful trimming of the last element, because we did have the piece that was proposed was the two element balanced interdependent sculpture event that was on another site, and the whole concept was to move it into place. But then we developed this thinking that it needed another element. And so that's can be a tricky thing for an artist to somehow suddenly modify the work that has been quote unquote finished. But the relationship I have with MBVA is really quite trusting and dynamic in that I had to agree it was a good idea, a great idea for the site, and it made it more site specific. So we had to figure out how to add now another 15 tons into a place that was not compatible. So that's where Silman comes in. And really the great thing about Silman is they first and foremost understand what the sculpture or the architecture or the work is, and then they try and support it in the most innovative way rather than the other way around. And I think that's a fundamentally important thing that they enable me and push me to make the work do what it's supposed to do. And that is a dynamic interdependent balance. So we had to figure out, you know, how to add weight to an existing condition and create a supporting system that would take that. And there were many, many back and forth between the building engineer and then Silman and myself. And we had to end up trimming the last block, you know, in a matter of pounds to come down to the weight that we could support. And that happened with, you know, the finish. We created this really wonderful scalloped finish with the craftspeople at Rock of Ages up in Barry. And that was removing weight. And so we were finishing, we were cutting, and we were always weighing to calibrate the new weight that was going to be added to make sure that we did not go over.
So with if you were talking to, you know, let's say a younger sculptor or, you know, a younger fabricator, whomever that's trying to get into a project like this, and they're walking into the situation where, you know, they don't have the relationships that you have, you know, with these different companies, what are some of the things that they should be looking for? Should they be trying to work schedules of, you know, once a week, once a day, you know, once whatever to talk to them? You know, kind of what advice do you have for somebody getting into this?
The advice to that person or person and all to architects and anybody designing with stone, the advice for me is to go to the quarry, visit the quarry, walk into the quarry and see what is happening, and then understand the differences between quarries and how the material is taken out and what is the behavior of the material. But that visit, it should be just the beginning of a new world opening up to you. And that is the profound experience of where the material comes from and how it's harvested. And from that experience, whether you're an architect at the top of your game or a beginning sculptor getting into it, you start then the collaboration with the earth and with the men and women who are harvesting the material. And then you get to the fabricator. That's the second step or third step. The first step is to the origin of things.
Yeah, it's funny that you bring that up. Because when I first started at Stone World, for the first year or so, I had never been to a quarry. And so I'm just, you know, I see the end product and that's it. In my mind, they just come as these slabs and that's just how you make them, whatever. And then when you first go to that quarry, and especially when you go to an underground quarry, you know, and you see where this comes from, you see the process and how it works. I mean, it is some of the most amazing stuff you can possibly see.
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. So yes, highly recommend everyone that's a fabricator or, you know, architect, designer, you know, go to these quarries, go visit them, and definitely learn more about it. Well, Daryl, you know, I want to thank you for taking the time to talk to me today. I know we just kind of scratched the surface on this project and different things in the industry, so I hope to have you back eventually. But thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today. I appreciate it.
Anytime. Thank you very much for inviting me.